You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hi, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm glad you're with us, and please tell your friends about us. Well, this is going to be a tough message, friends. First of all, I have to make it absolutely clear that I'm almost as sad as I've ever been. I was more sad when, you know, my mother died, my father passed away, and so forth. But the killing of Charlie Kirk has really made me despondent. And that's something that I've had to pray about because, as people of faith, I know where he is. And I hope and trust I'll see him again someday. The next confession I have is a little bit more difficult, but we're family, so I can share it with you. I am also angry, more angry in many ways than I have ever been in my life. And I've talked to a lot of other people that feel the same way. I hope it's a righteous anger. I hope it's an anger grounded in what we're supposed to think and believe in our Christian faith, but I can't put any kind of perfume on it. It's anger. Charlie Kirk has been a longtime friend of the James Dobson Family Institute. He's spoken in two of the last 3 years at one of our annual gatherings. He and Dr. Dobson were developing a friendship. And at one of the gatherings, and really a special moment, Dr. Dobson staying seated, as I recall, at the table he was at. Charlie, I recall, was up on the stage, but Dr. Dobson asked for a mic, and he said to Charlie, "Charlie, you're getting a lot of fame, and your influence is growing, and people are looking to you for answers, and there's all kinds of demands on your time, and I just want to tell you," and of course, this is James Dobson, the guy that built the whole life around the family. He said, "While you're doing all these important things, don't forget your wife and children. Don't forget your family. You've got to keep your family strong. You can't, quote unquote, save everybody else and end up losing your family." And I know from a variety of sources and things that Charlie Kirk said himself, he took that advice to heart. Charlie Kirk was killed, murdered, while he was debating. He was killed when he was trying to, what is that phrase, talk it out. You know, we have, obviously, it's conservative Christians, we have some serious disagreements with some powerful forces in our country, and it's easy to talk past each other. Charlie Kirk was going into America's university campuses, which is a bulwark of leftist indoctrination, and students, hundreds of thousands of them, millions of them, are in those universities, and a lot of them are swallowing hook, line, and sinker what their professors are telling them. Charlie Kirk would go onto these campuses. He would set up a tent. He'd put up a big banner, "Prove me wrong." That was the challenge, and he would invite those students, particularly the ones that disagreed with him, to come on down, stand in line. And he would sit there sometimes for 2 or 3 hours taking questions from those students in an effort to find common ground. This is one of the most fundamental rights we have, you know, this right to speak, to debate. That was the one thing that all the founders agreed about. He was killed while he was debating. This wasn't the random violence, you know, that we increasingly see in our country. Not many days before Charlie Kirk was killed, we saw these images of a young Ukrainian woman that escaped Ukraine because of the violence, legally migrated to America, was working hard in a job, got on a mass transit in Charlotte, North Carolina, sitting there minding her own business when a bloodthirsty murderer stabbed her repeatedly in the neck. So this random violence, meaningless violence, it had there's no impulse behind it. We had already were processing another one of those cases when Charlie Kirk was killed in targeted violence. This was a political assassination. This was an intentional effort to kill only him. The murderer could have killed dozens of university students that day. He fired one shot into Charlie Kirk and killed him. You know, at every one of those campus visits, in the beginning, you know, Kirk would talk about economics and foreign policy, but he shared with us at the James Dobson Family Institute on one of his speaking engagements with us that it kind of surprised him, but he started getting asked about God on these campuses, that the kids were interested in God and they were interested even in Jesus. And he began to get these questions that often were said in a sort of incredulous way. You know, you believe in God? Yes, I do. Why, the student would often say, often in that tone of voice, because you see, everything's telling them there's no God. They haven't been made in the image of a God. They're the product of some protozoan single cell something or other that slithered out of the primal slime, and it became us eventually after several billion years. Charlie would present the gospel. Let's listen to one of those exchanges. This happened thousands of times in his life. Let's listen to this.
Are you a Christian, by any chance?
Very, very much so.
Like, why is that exactly?
Oh, Jesus saved my life. I'm a sinner, gave my life to Christ, most important decision I ever made.
So you believe the Bible is real?
Yes, like, I believe the Bible is true and real.
Yeah. Why is that?
Well, I could give you the technical answer. There's never been an archaeological discovery that has contradicted the truth of the Bible. And then, of course, the wisdom. There is not a truth of the Bible that if you apply to your life does not improve dramatically. And then finally, we have the most accurate and transparent, historically robust account that one can have of the most important figure ever to live in the history of the world, Jesus of Nazareth. And the resurrection is the pinpoint of my belief that Jesus did rise from the grave so that we may live. If Genesis 1:1 and the resurrection is true, anything in the Bible is possible. You're looking at the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle is creation. And then the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And I say, how do you know that Jesus rose from the dead? Well, show me another historical piece of a story where so many people willingly died a brutal death for a lie. Every single person around him had everything to lose, and yet they went to the absolute death, from Paul to Peter to the half-brother of James, saying that Jesus is Lord, Jesus rose from the dead. Not to mention, if you were going to fake a story, you would not use female witnesses in the ancient world. In the scriptures, it said that the women were the first one to see Jesus Christ. If you're trying to fake a story, you would never do that. Not to mention the 500 people that saw Jesus after he rose from the dead, and then the later church that lived under persecution.
You know, I think we all realize this. We are living in a blizzard of lies. I don't know what, it's a storm of lies. It's the lies are everywhere, and most of them are aimed at our children and grandchildren. We're impacted by it too. I mean, there were a blizzard of lies about him, but our kids are hearing these lies all the time. And one of them is the lie, there is no God. And my friends, a society whose people conclude there is no God, all of history tells you those societies fail, and fail often in horrible ways. That's communism, you know, Marxism. There is no God. There's only government and whatever emotions you're feeling. Lies like America was never great. They hated it when Donald Trump, and they still hate it today, when President Trump says, make America great again. These liars say, what do you mean again? It was never great. Charlie got that on campus too. America was never great. And then the corollary lie, our founders were evil. You know, I grew up being taught that the founders were some of the most incredible human beings ever on the face of the earth. Today, young Americans are being taught to be alienated from their own country. The country was never great. Our founders were evil people. They were worthless. They were bigots. The goal of all this, the purpose of all this, is to alienate our children and grandchildren from the greatest country, I would argue, that has ever existed on the face of the earth. They want our children and grandchildren to hate the country they were born in. Charlie Kirk was confronted by that often. And here's one of those exchanges where he not only defends what the founders did, but he deals with the lie that America, that God was never involved in America. That in fact, if you start talking about God in America, you're violating the separation of church and state.
The most important thing is always Jesus. The second most important thing is making sure that we could talk about Jesus and worship Jesus, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is increasingly more difficult.
People that even say that, do you believe in separation of morality and state? Nobody does. So all laws are a reflection of morality, and all morality comes from somewhere. There is no such thing as neutral morality. And we believe what the founders believe, because they put it in the halls of Congress, they put it in the Supreme Court, and they put it all throughout the country, which is that the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, is the core morality of how a society and a civilization should exist. Right? The Ten Commandments of every person. And finally, and this is the kicker, if the Founding Fathers were not Bible-believing church-attending Christians, why did they put Leviticus on Liberty Bell? Not John, not Psalms, not Proverbs, not Genesis, Leviticus. Most Americans can't spell Leviticus. Leviticus 25:19, proclaim liberty throughout the land of which you are in. It is one of the most sinister, most unsubstantiated lies that does not come up against any sort of academic scrutiny, this idea that the Founding Fathers were a bunch of Enlightenment common law deists. The reason they must say this is that if we actually go back to our Christian roots and we go back to where we once were, it's America's best hope for revival and for a great future.
The people and the forces promoting these lies, and I just named a few of them, they're not only promoting these lies, but they are demanding that we kneel before those lies, that we surrender to those lies. Charlie Kirk would not kneel. He literally would walk into the lion's den, as I said, of these American universities, and he would confront the lies head on. He knew what I'm going to remind you of right now, that, and I've been doing this in recent speeches. If we knelt in front of these lies, we would, first of all, betray our own founding fathers. We can't do that. We would, and this is in some ways even worse, we would make a mockery of the sacrifices made by every previous generation of Americans who went to war or suffered greatly in order to preserve our country. We would, if we accepted these lies, we would condemn our own children and grandchildren to lesser lives. And if that's not enough to grab you, we would jeopardize our own souls. I didn't really realize this until the last year or so when somebody pointed out to me that in Revelation, I believe it's chapter 1, there's a long verse in which in God's word, we are told very specifically who will be thrown into the lake of fire in the end of times. It designates the categories. And I don't think these will surprise you. Murderers, liars, idolaters, sorcerers, you know, people that play around with demons and so forth, the sexually immoral. But the thing that's so, I think, kind of disturbing about the list is that none of those things I just mentioned are the first thing in the list. The first thing in the list is the cowardly. So I've read it over and over again. I've read a number of different Bible translations. They all say the same thing. Being a coward is listed before any of these other things. So that's something to ponder. I don't want to stand before the throne and be asked why I was a coward. I've thought about why would that be the first one listed? And you know, the conclusion I've come to is that the opposite of being a coward is to be courageous. And without courage, none of the other virtues are possible. So if we're going to be a virtuous people, we have to show courage, and that's why we can't be cowards. Well, look, it's not just those of us at JDFI that felt that this young man, he was 31 years old, that this young man was a special person. President Trump has already announced that he's going to award Charlie Kirk the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is the nation's highest civilian honor. Kirk has gotten the accolades of even foreign leaders. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said he was a line-hearted friend of Israel. He fought the lies and stood tall for Judeo-Christian civilization. Franklin Graham wrote, "This young man loved his country and invested his time and energy in trying to make it the best that it could be. He stood boldly for conservative values and defended free speech for all of us. Most importantly, Charlie loved the Lord Jesus Christ." Pastor Greg Laurie posted, "Charlie was such a courageous young man. He was not only a bold and unwavering voice for biblical truth in our culture, but also a devoted follower of Jesus Christ, a husband and a family man." Pastor Jack Hibbs, another great friend of the James Dobson Family Institute, wrote, "Charlie was known as an intellectual giant, a very compassionate young man, and one who was tirelessly devoted to this nation's welfare and our glorious republic. I am humbled and blessed to have played a small role in Charlie's discipleship, and I know nothing was more important to Charlie than knowing Jesus Christ." Charlie died in a war, and it's not just a war between flesh and blood. America is in the middle of incredible spiritual warfare. I've said this before, I feel it now more than ever. Demonic evil has been loosed in our country, and millions of Americans, those of us who follow Jesus Christ, we have to rise up to meet it. I mean, and you know, I've reminded you, I've been trying to, and I did it in a recent speech and Colorado Springs, of all the evidence of this, this rising, raw anti-Semitism. You know, Charlie Kirk and my son, Zach Bauer, have been working together in recent months to put together a trip to Israel of young Christian high school students and college students. And the whole purpose of that was to get young Christians to understand what's actually going on in the Middle East, and then to come back and not only be a defender of Israel and its right to exist, but also after this trip to come back to the United States and fight this growing, unacceptable anti-Semitism. The murder of Charlie Kirk itself, in my mind, was demonic. And the reaction to it, which I'm not going to repeat in this podcast, because I've decided I can't cure my sadness or my anger if I keep wallowing in what is being said, the hate that's being said, not just by wackos, you know, that you run into, again, particularly on university campuses. I'm talking about doctors and lawyers and elected officials who are saying things about his murder. The things they're saying is straight out of the pit of hell. And that itself is a sign of what we're up against. His assassination didn't happen in a vacuum. You know, we saw the Jewish, young Jewish couple gunned down outside the Jewish Museum in Washington, D.C. Vicious attacks on police officers simply doing their job of trying to remove illegal aliens from our country. Two assassination attempts on Donald Trump, and I want to tell you, my friends, there have been others. So I want to close this, and I'm going to say this until my last breath. Wake up, church. Wake up, American church. To pastors and elders and deacons, to Sunday school teachers, wake up. It is a sin for us to avoid or ignore the battle raging in our country. You are called to go to the front lines. Of course we must pray. Of course we must spread the gospel as he was spreading it on the campuses. But we also must act. There is no solution to America's problems without God and without his son, Jesus Christ. And God works through his people. We must step up to save America, this great experiment in liberty under God. Thank you for being with us at Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. God bless you all.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.